and welcome back to another episode of Holochat. My name is Bobby.
And I'm Rachel, and today we are discussing Kingdom Legendary War, Episode 4 and 5. So we're back to suffering. Yeah. Last night, we're both pretty fresh on these episodes because despite having recorded the first episode of Kingdom like months ago, this is a little behind the scenes.
I think it was a month ago.
A month ago is how long ago we watched episodes 1 through 3. Neither of us could stomach watching episode 4 and 5.
I mean, truthfully, we haven't really had a lot of time.
That's true.
To get back to it. So. Actually, no, I think it is more like maybe like 6 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Because I know we started watching it when I was in Dallas, which was like the first weekend in June.
Yeah.
So here we are at the end of July.
And so, but, you know, both of us knew we were recording this episode on today, which is Saturday, as of like Monday of this week. And both of us watched our first episode, episode 4, last night at like 10 p.m. Like, no, just can't do it earlier.
Couldn't face it.
And then we both watched episode 5 this morning before recording, because you cannot watch 2 episodes in a row.
And the thing about, here's the thing about it. It's not that the performances aren't bad.
No, the performances
are
good.
It's not the performances. The parts where the idols, the boys are just, you know, chatting, hanging out, talking about the process, those parts are fine.
Yes.
But it is the way that it is edited.
Yes.
And some of the choices that are made for what behind the scenes content we're privy to, that make it such a slog.
Yeah.
And the way that they play up the pathos, it's just uncomfortable to watch. And then if you happen to be an Aitney and you're watching this and you're like, I couldn't get over the chair situation. I couldn't get over it.
I know.
The chair situation felt so much worse in these 2 episodes than it felt in the first.
I feel like
episodes.
It's because we got more of ATs. Like, ATs was featured more because they had won the last one. So they kept like cutting to the winner reaction and whatever. So we see them in this closet. Half the time, I have to assume that some of the other boys had a different schedule, because there's like a huge portion of these 2 episodes where there's only like 5. I actually think there's 6 chairs. One boy is missing. There are 6 chairs in that room. And like, obviously Mingy's not there, but another boy is missing.
Yeah, I know that there are a few episodes, like a few times where one of them, and I don't remember which one, because I just remember,
I think it was
seeing,
San. Like, I feel like San was San. The one that I like was, I was like, where is San? Why is he not here?
Well, we found out later that he had kind of injured himself in this choreo, and I think that he was off getting it. I think he hurt like his ankle.
Yeah, I do remember that.
And so he was getting that kind of taken care of afterwards, because it's after they perform during like Stray Kids and B2B when San is
there. And they just roll the chair out in lieu of leaving the empty rolly chair. Because like, remember, every other group has couches. So if a boy disappears, you still have like the couch in there. They just roll one of these chairs right on out because San won't be sitting in it, and they don't want to draw attention to this empty rolling chair.
They do have an empty chair for one part, because I remember like looking and that's how I noticed, somebody's missing. There's an empty chair, but then they get rid of
it. Yeah, one of the producers is like, this isn't.
When he's not coming right back.
This isn't during it for us.
So, yeah, I was like, you can't, it's so blatant. And I'm like, do they not have, I know that they've got an IKEA. I know they've got an IKEA in Seoul. They could have just run to the IKEA and gotten themselves a couple of pretty cheap sofas that are just padded instead of putting them in these plastic chairs.
I am sure that someone in the whole of MNET Studio had a couch that they could have brought down to that room. I'm so positive of it.
And then they just didn't bother.
And they just didn't bother. They just didn't care. So, you know, but we do start this episode. So let's get back to the beginning. We do start episode 4 with ATs celebrating their win, which is so precious, so cute. And then they just, you know, the editors really you know, wanting to make this a miserable experience, pair that with cuts to SF9 being sad about getting sixth. And it's just, mm-hmm. like, it's hard, it's tough for me to watch, even though I'm not a fan of SF9, even though I didn't think their stage was good. So, like, I agree that it was pretty low in the rankings. Mm-hmm. It's hard to stomach watching boys be sad, like, they all prepared for it.
It's just uncomfortable.
I don't like it in any way.
Yeah. So one of the first things we do in the episode is we go through and all the teams read their comments from the judges, the expert mm-hmm. judges. And there are 29 judges yes. that they're getting comments from. I wrote every single comment down.
Oh, look at you. I just wrote, they're so happy receiving compliments. Oh, my God. And obviously they're being ATs because that's what I was focused on.
Yeah. So here are, and we go in order of rankings.
Yes.
So we start with ATs. So here are the comments that ATs got. Their performance was the most dynamic. Mm-hmm. It made you feel like you were at the scene. Mm-hmm. The details are simple, but they still deliver the concept faithfully. Mm-hmm. It is a performance beyond words. Mm-hmm. They rip the stage with their energy and, this one's for us, with a well-knit storyline and those stunning high notes.
Stunning.
This is a must-see performance from the first battle.
Truly. I mean, they're
like, they summed it up.
They didn't
like,
give them yeah, any exactly. constructive feedback, which
none.
Mm-mm. They didn't need it.
So. I know. Like, what do you say? Be less good next time? I don't know.
So that was really, it was really gratifying as an 18-y to watch mm-hmm. them read these comments.
Stray Kids.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I do want to say, and we'll probably get to them as you go through all of the comments, but mm-hmm. like, I know that these are the expert judges. But I did not agree with a lot of their comments. Obviously, I agreed yeah. with the ATs ones, but post that, I was like, I don't know.
I have some specific beef with some of them.
I think I did too. So
talk about. So for Stray Kids, they said the multiple perspectives turned out to be a minus to the team's explosive and no frills energy.
I think I said that in our last episode that I thought that it was a little frenetic.
Yeah. Like, there was too much going yeah. on all at once. I didn't know where to look. It was a performance that well represented inner conflicts with the use of black and white. Mm-hmm. And those are really the only two comments that they read. Changbin says, after that, he says, if they hadn't received any negative comments, then they wouldn't have known how to improve themselves for the next stage.
Well,
so
he's really
spinning it into a positive.
We don't get any, I mean, we only get the slightly negative comment, but they don't really spend a lot of time reading their negative comments. Unlike some other groups, I feel like JYP paid some big old money to make themselves mm-hmm. look good and to make Stray Kids look good because they do... Mm-hmm. not get the same treatments that some of these other groups get. That's just how I feel. I don't know.
But anyway, you know, it's debatable. We could debate it. So for the boys.
That is a good attitude by Changbin.
Yeah.
Good attitude.
They were impressed by the first person perspective and the little details in the choreo. Mm-hmm. This is the one that I have beef with, this comment right here. Under pressure, it was a rather disappointing performance given that there were high expectations.
Well,
and that's it. Those are the only two comments that they read. And I'm like, I'm sorry. No. And what's interesting is that one of the members whose name I think is Hyunjae, I don't know if that is his name. I was just reading the Hangul.
Yeah.
He said, oh, we really wanted specific feedback and we got that. I'm like, are you sure?
Yeah.
Because this comment, it just wasn't. You didn't meet our high expectations. What does that mean?
Yeah.
What are you supposed to do with that feedback?
Yeah.
I found it very irritating that they weren't being more specific.
I mean, perhaps there were more specific comments that we are not privy to because of editing.
Similarly to how you feel about how Stray Kids are being treated, I feel like the boys are getting similar treatment from Mnet specifically because I do feel... This is me getting real conspiracy theorist, but I do feel like Mnet, because the boys had one road to kingdom, mm-hmm. I feel like Mnet wants them to do well in this show.
Yeah.
To prove, like, look at this group that we've created, mm-hmm. that we made, that, you know, we've promoted or whatever. And the stuff that they give us, the content they give us from the boys, and I'm going to come back to this later.
The content that they gave us from the boys today was so bad.
But we'll talk about it when we get there.
Yeah.
So B2B. Mm-hmm. The oriental theme and sword dance worked well with the melodic music.
Mm-hmm. Agree.
Sure. It would have been more immersive had they added a dramatic storyline.
I don't understand where this, like, expectation that every stage have a storyline came from, unless it is an expectation that was developed because of Road to Kingdom and Queendom. Because, like, I've seen tons of stages that are incredible that don't have a storyline. Like, I love a storyline, too, obviously. But I don't understand why that is an expectation on a group stage.
Well, it does feel to me like that is like the defining factor for the judges is who is telling a story and how well are they telling.
Yeah.
Because that's where, spoilers for the next round, that's where ATs kind of struggles because the judges don't understand the story.
Yeah.
And so that's why they get really low rankings for their answer, Ode to Joy, which honestly, I can kind of understand. I'm like, if that's the only thing that you are looking at is the storyline, then, yeah, they would be confused by answer, Ode to Joy. But if they hadn't read the Fever Diaries, then,
well, maybe, you know, they should have been given a copy of the Fever Diaries.
They should have been given some homework to do. They said that it was a performance that showcased Korean beauty and that Minhyuk's sexy sword dance was impressive. They are correct. And one judge says this performance made me realize once again the importance of the vocals.
Yeah.
Yeah. Welcome to a music club.
I was going to say, like, oh, they just want, like, musicals. But actually, no, because musicals, they do the vocals live. So... They don't want story musicals.
They don't want musical. They want just, I don't know what they want. I don't understand. Icon. What impressed me was the various variations in the arrangements, which I hadn't seen in Icon previously. The stage was well-balanced, free of unnecessities. Donghyuk's performance. Donghyuk is the one that looks like Eden, for context. Okay. Donghyuk's performance when the mood changed was impressive.
That's right.
However, the rearrangement didn't really hit home. The song itself was a mega hit, but the performance itself was rather average. And then one of them says, many have been criticizing her performance because it was too bland. And Icon themselves also felt like it was too bland. But hey, this goes back to the budget issues.
Yeah.
They were told that they had a budget.
Yeah.
So,
A budget that they, you
compared
know,
to everything
stuck
else.
With.
Yeah.
And I feel like I rated Icons really highly in ours. Like, I think I maybe gave them third. But I really liked the rearrangement. And I do wonder if that was because those songs were mega hits in Korea, like, super mega hits. But for me, they're just, like, fun songs. And hearing them together was like, oh, this
was
is
was not
super
a mega
fun.
Hit in my room.
Right. I mean, I like both of those songs. I do have them on my playlist. But they're not, to me, iconic songs. So when you mashed them up, I thought that was very fun. I thought it was unique. I thought it was interesting. But I'm trying to think of, like, a mega hit here. Like, what is a Taylor Swift song like? I don't know. If you took, like, two mega popular Taylor Swift songs and, like, mashed them up and made them so that they were very different from a Taylor Swift song and had someone else singing them, I do feel like people would be like, I didn't like it, you know? Because I just think that, like, people expected a certain thing and they were not delivered that certain thing.
SF9. The overall mood and extravagant feel was nice. It was disappointing that there was no climax.
I don't even remember SF9 stage.
I don't either.
Like, I don't remember what
song
they did.
There was some running around. There was some choreo that was tough. The costuming and stage design was extravagant. The performance was all over the place, which was the problem.
Mm-hmm.
One judge said it could have been sexier. And, like, my guy, let it go. It was fine. Someone said the performance was overall average. Chani agrees with this, and they have a conversation about, you know, there should have been, like, a focal point. Mm. And I think it was either Taeyang or Huiyang. It was one of the two that I know said, because we were trying to showcase everybody, we ended up not showcasing anybody.
Yeah. And I think I remember, like, I truly do not remember their stage at all. Like,
they wore red.
Did they? I don't even remember that.
They wore red. They had a part with the female dancers.
I don't remember that. Like, I just, like, that is the impact that their stage left on me. I do not remember it at all. I do remember Icon's stage. I obviously remember ATs's. I remember B2B's. I don't think I remember the boys, but I don't remember Stray Kids or SF9's. even a little bit. Like, I couldn't tell you anything about either of those two stages. So, and I do think those were the ones that I ranked the lowest. They didn't have impact for me.
I specifically remember in Stray Kids, like, moments. I remember the part where the guy was hanging upside down, and I remember
the puppet master thing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But that's it. I couldn't tell you anything else about what was going on with that stage, which put a pin in. So they go back to, so after they go through all the judge evaluations and the members talk about it and whatever, we go back to last week, to the end of last week's show. And because ATs had been had gotten first for both the judge evaluation and the group evaluation, they get to choose who their part, who they're going to switch songs with. So the theme this week is Reborn, and each group is going to pair up with another group, and they're going to trade songs. So ATs chooses Icon.
There's like a very awkward bit, and I don't know if it's right here or if it's later, but they show ATs kind of delivering their choice, and none of the groups are making eye contact with them, which is very uncomfortable to me. It's like no one wanted to be chosen by ATs. They did not want an ATs song.
There were a couple groups that kind of were questioned, like, oh my God, do you think they'll pick us? I think Stray Kids mentioned, like, oh, do you think they'll pick us? And to me, the tone was like, I hope they don't.
Yeah.
Hard to read tone, but that's kind of how it came across to me. So I was like, I beg your pardon.
I agree. And I will say that there is not a world in which ATs should have chosen Stray Kids. Their songs, like... No, that's
stupid. It wouldn't have done anything for either group, and I think people just would have gotten upset.
Yeah.
So it was an excellent choice that they didn't choose them. I do think Icon was the best choice for ATs.
I think they could have done a B2B song.
ATs
has excellent vocals from all members, so I think they would have struggled less with a B2B song. A vocally heavy B2B song. I think ATs would have been able to do it pretty easily.
Yeah.
But I also think that ATs already has a lot of songs that are vocally heavy if you listen to their discography. So it wouldn't have necessarily been showing a new side. In fact, ATs' discography is so vast that there is no one that I really think, well, that would show something that ATs has never done. It's like, well...
So I think that ATs knows this as well. So I do think that they picked Icon specifically because they knew, I think they already had kind of had like a game plan in mind of how they were going, like what songs they wanted to kind of switch up and play around with. And I think they picked Icon because they had a song. They're like, well, we can make this work with our story.
Yeah.
So ATs chooses Icon. Icon looks very surprised by this. It was a cute little interaction.
Icon, they showed a lot of very sweet interactions with ATs, which very much endeared me to Icon.
Yeah. Stray Kids goes next, and they choose B2B. And then because the boys in SF9 are the leftovers, they are paired together. And Changmin very awkwardly asks the boys who they would have chosen if they could have chosen. And they're like, Stray Kids. And I was like, why?
Yeah, that's crazy.
That seems weird. And then he asks SF9, and SF9 wanted to trade with B2B. So I was like, well,
yeah, that's such an awkward interaction.
ATs chose Icon, and none of y'all deserve either group, so get out of here. So then we do a points update.
Yeah, and this is so upsetting. I almost had to turn off my TV. I want everyone to remember that ATs is in first. They are in literal first place.
Okay, well, this is not it's not that points update.
Oh, okay.
Oh, no, it is. It is. But that comes later. So
when we find out how the end,
yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
We'll get there. It pissed me off.
Don't
so
you worry. I know.
I'm ready. I'm ready to be mad. Oh, I like that I still have my candle burning. I hope we had some nice candle ASMR for the first part of this podcast. I'm going to turn it off now. Sorry, everyone.
All right. So where we left off at the end of the last round, ATs had, the way they do the points is so crazy. Like ATs from the judges got 1,555.556 points. Like, why are we doing it like this? Can't we just use round numbers? But they get 1,555.556 from the judges. And then they also got top score for the group with 1388.889. And they have a total of 2,2944.444. So they have 2,900 points. notes.
Hold on. I need to take some notes because at some point I'm going to do some math.
Okay. Yeah, I know.
Because what I have read online and have never once taken the time to do, because I didn't have any interest in rewatching Kingdom or putting myself through any mm-hmm. of this, is mm-hmm. that Stray Kids would have won even without the global yeah. thing. And I just don't yeah. think that's true.
I've read that too, and I don't think that's true either.
So we're about to find out, all of us together. Mm-hmm. And I will mm-hmm. say that the first stage, that intro stage, people always count that as like part of straight, like this is part of their points that show that they would have made it even without the fan thing. The first stage was only a fan thing. So if yeah. you're going to mm-hmm. say that they could have made it without the fan thing, then you're just going to have to cut that stage literally entirely. Anyways, give me AT's points again.
I'm texting this to you.
Oh, okay.
So
okay.
that you can just see
so
it.
So that I can have it and right. I can stop yelling. So that's great.
So you can just have it. Yeah. All right, so Stray Kids has 1333.333 from the judges, and they have 1111.111.
Mm-hmm.
So 1111.111. And they have a total of 2,444.444 points. How much did they get for the first round?
10,000.
10,000. See, that's why I'm so confused about the points, because these points are only in the thousand. So why are they starting off?
Maybe it was,
what's going on
maybe
here?
It was 1,000. Maybe it was 1,000.
Maybe it was 1,000. I don't know. But if that is true, then that does put Stray Kids ahead of AT's mm-hmm. at this point, because they have that extra 1,000 points, even though I'm still confused. Because if this is a comma and not a decimal point, and these points are actually in the millions and not in the thousands, I don't know. I don't know. I don't understand how the numbers are working.
It's very confusing. I agree.
It is very confusing.
I think it's in the millions.
Okay.
Because they do their money like that, too. Like, why? Like they're very happy with larger numbers.
Well, I know that their won is like a Korean won is like about a little bit less than 1,000 for us.
Yeah. So like 1,000 won.
1,000 won is like a little bit like a dollar.
Yeah. Yeah. But like, you know, comparable sort of to a dollar. So I feel like maybe this is in the millions.
Okay. So Stray Kids 10,000 points would actually put them.
But that doesn't make any sense.
10,000.
That doesn't make any sense.
That would put them
either.
At 2,454.
Mm-hmm. That doesn't.
I don't think those points are. I don't think those points are in.
This. I don't think they are either. But I also don't think that's correct. I'm going back. I'm backing up. I think that no, because it doesn't make sense for that to be a decimal point. I just don't understand what they're doing. So
I don't either. I don't get it. I don't understand it either.
Because I was whatever. Like, if it was meant to be a comma and not a decimal point, then there should be one between the 2 and the 9 in AT's score yeah. as well. And there's not.
Mm-hmm. There's not.
So I think it's got to be, I don't know. Let's sue Mnet for the real results.
Okay. So then I already did Stray Kids.
Yeah.
The boys are next with 1,000 or 1 million points, even depending on how you look mm-hmm. at it, from the judges. And then 833.333 from the other groups.
Mm-hmm.
B2B has 333.333 plus 1111111111.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a total of 1444.444.
Mm-hmm.
Icon has the same 333.333 from the judges plus 555.556 from the groups, with a total of 888.889.
Mm-hmm.
And then SF9 got 444.444 from the judges, 0 votes from the other groups, with a total of 444.444.
I feel, and I could be wrong about this, but I feel in Korea, the ranking of these groups, like in the Korean, you know, mind palace of whatever, I don't know. Mm-hmm. It would be like Icon is the top dog group. Like Icon's the best group in people's mm-hmm. eyes. And then it's B2B. And then it's SF9. Or maybe B2B and then Icon and SF9. But SF9 is like clearly below these other two groups in the kind of like Korean consensus of rankings mm-hmm. of idol groups. I feel like SF9 is the ATs of the third generation. So you've got these like the fourth generation groups, like Stray Kids is clearly on top. And then Korea likes the boys. And then mm-hmm. you've got ATs at the bottom. And I feel like that is SF9's place, and I feel like that makes them kind of like, you know, it's kind of sometimes awkward where it feels like the people don't know ATs, like they don't know who they are, they haven't listened to their songs, they don't know anything about them. I feel like it kind of feels the same way about SF9, like they don't really know who these guys are other than like actors
mm-hmm.
as far as like the idols' interactions with each other.
Mm. Sorry, I was trying to learn about Korean numbers, and they weren't telling me what I wanted to know.
Mm, I don't feel like you were listening to anything I said, so.
I wasn't.
So.
We were talking about SF9 being the ATs of the third generation.
Yeah, as far as, like, how the idol, like, the idols respect for them.
Mm.
Like, I just don't feel like they, like, the other groups have a ton of idol respect for SF9, kind of in the same way that the other groups kind of relate to ATs. They're like, yeah, and then there's ATs over there.
Yeah.
Mm. So that's how I feel like they treat SF9, and it does make me feel sorry for SF9 as I watch this show.
Well, I also feel like SF9's performance was not as good as the other performances. So if I'm having to choose three performances, like, I don't think anybody was giving out any pity points, which sounds mean to say.
I disagree when we get to the next one. I think they were.
We'll see. All right. So we get our points update, and then we get into the performances.
Mm-hmm.
So SF9 goes first. Mm-hmm. So ATs also gets to pick the order. And I want to talk about this when we get there. No, we'll talk about it now. Because ATs does the same thing the Stray Kids does. They decide they want their performance to be the fourth.
Yeah. They liked that spot.
So they want to go, I don't understand. Like, why?
I don't know. Well, I do think there's benefits in being in the second episode as opposed to the first episode. But because you know, you're voting after all of the performances have come out and all of the hype for your performance is gone mm-hmm. by the time yeah. that second episode comes out. So I do think there are benefits to being in the second episode. Why they wouldn't want to close the second episode as opposed to open the second episode is less clear, but I think it might be something like, oh, people have been waiting to finally see the rest of the performances, so they're going to be at the most anticipatory at the start of the episode.
Mm. I don't know. I don't know that I agree with the logic.
I also think that ATs knows that they're not popular, so, and they've had this happen at their shows where if they perform last, people leave before they perform.
Oh, they had it happen recently.
Yeah. So I do think they don't like to put themselves last because they want to prove themselves. So you have to be there to see them in order to prove themselves. And if people
are more likely to watch the beginning of an episode than to, like, turn in later.
And you know that if Stray Kids went first and ATs went last, all of the Stays would have just turned that episode right off before ATs even aired.
Possibly.
So, I think...
Anyway. Okay, I'll give it to him. I can see the logic. All right, SF9 goes first, and they start off with... They have their conversation about, you know, what song do they want to do, and they decide to do The Stealer.
I wrote, is The Stealer the only song of theirs they know? Because, you know, they watched them perform it last week.
It's the only song that I know, so they decide to do The Stealer. They decide to go for a noir concept, which it was very funny to me. I think it was somebody in ATs was like, I can't believe they're doing a noir concept. I'm like, what else would they do with a song called The Stealer? It's right there.
Please.
So, like, anyway, so.
They're paid for these reactions. They're just saying whatever.
I know. They're just making a paycheck, and that's fine. So they decide to do a noir concept. And they go for acting lessons at, like, a theater.
I actually liked this.
I have feelings about this as a trained theater person.
Well, I have several. Like, I liked that they got a musical theater actor. Mm-hmm. I like that, like, because last time we watched the boys do some pictures underwater, and it was like, what is happening? Why are we having?
Well,
I know.
Put a pin in that.
What we do with ATs is really ridiculous, but again, not. Then we'll get to that. But, like, you know, this seemed very relevant. I also liked, because last time when we watched SF9, the thing that I do remember about SF9 is that none of them practiced together. And it showed when we got to their stage. So we had, like, all of SF9 was here getting theater acting lessons from a musical theater actor. Because at first I thought they were just going to bring in an actor. And I was like, I just don't understand why we're doing this. Like, you don't need this. But they brought in a musical theater actor. And I felt like that was
somebody
good.
A really well-known. Mm-hmm. I looked up his filmography. Mm-hmm. He's been in, like, none of the movies that I was very familiar with or TV shows that I have seen, but he is really, really big in musical theater.
Yes.
So I do like that. And notably, a lot of the SF9 members have done work in musical theater. Mm-hmm. So that's why that they knew him.
Yeah.
So here's my problem with these acting lessons that they do. This teacher, Jung Sung-hwa is his name. He comes out. He's like, you know, talking about you got to embody the feelings and whatever. And then he's just like, okay, do it. Be a gangster. And they're all just kind of standing there, like, trying to make faces. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, that's not acting. Acting is not facial expressions. Uh-huh. Acting is you've got to do something.
Well, I liked...
I have a master's degree in theater, so I know a little something about this.
I liked that he told them to, like, think about the motivations.
That's true. But that only works if you are doing something.
Yeah, no, so I wrote that they were all very awkward acting, which was surprising, seeing that most of them are actors. So it was weird.
Mm-hmm. So he does the same thing to Rowan. He's like, okay, you're the boss, so be the boss. And so Rowan's just kind of standing there. Uh-huh. Like, and he loses his composure and starts giggling. Uh-huh. And it's like, oh, yeah, it's fine. But then here's where it makes a lot of sense. He gets Chani. Mm-hmm. And he's like, okay, Chani, there's a part in your performance where somebody's going to hold a gun at the back of your head. Yeah. So you're going to be he's walking with a briefcase and another member comes up and puts the gun against the back of his head. And he's like, I want you to react to that. And they do it. And he like loses his composure at first, but then they do it again. And it's so much better than everything else that he's done. Yeah. And it's like, because you gave him something to do.
Right.
You gave him something to react to.
Right.
He's got something in his hand. He's got like a motivation. Mm-hmm. I need to escape with the briefcase. And I'm like, Jung Sung-hwa is like, oh, wow, that was so great. I'm like, yeah, because you gave him something.
Right.
Like, they should have had them like reacting to each other more of that than just here, stand in a line and be a bad guy. Like, that didn't make any sense. So I was annoyed about that.
Mm-hmm.
But also, my other beef with this is that once they get into rehearsals and they're doing like that fight scene at the top, mm-hmm. then we see these clips of them. They went to an action school.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, Mnet. Where's that? Mm-hmm. Where's the footage of that? Why don't I get to see them like learning this choreography? So I think that their behind the scenes was really, really good.
I thought so too. I had tons of notes from theirs. Like, I was really enjoying
mm-hmm.
it.
Mm-hmm.
I have a quote from the teacher guy. And mm-hmm. the quote is pretty like obvious, but it's that SF9 reacted to it. Like, he was really saying something groundbreaking that I was when he was like, you want to be serious about every performance. And they're like, wow, yeah, we do.
Yeah. Like, imagine that.
And, you know, you compare that to ATs who has from their very first performance been like, we always perform like it's our last performance ever. So it just felt like really like, really coming at it from different perspectives. And I do think that was obvious in the first episode.
Yeah. So we get into the performance. Mm. Here are my overall thoughts about the performance. First of all, as a nitpicky thing, I didn't like the fight scene in the beginning, specifically because it wasn't like a stylized fight scene. It was meant to look realistic.
Yeah.
But they didn't have any sound effects.
Mm.
So they're just pantomiming being in a fight. But then we get these like footstep sound effects and we get a gunshot sound effect. Mm-hmm. I'm like,
Yeah, I didn't notice that. But
I remember that from the first time I watched Kingdom. I was like, why are they doing it this way? It's very weird. So I didn't like that. It just took me out of it at the beginning because I was like, they could have fixed this. I did note that most of them are not singing. I think InSong is the only one that
didn't rap. Like, you know, usually it's not uncommon for singers to not sing. I don't love it, mm-hmm. but it's not uncommon. Mm-hmm. But when the rappers didn't rap, I was like, what's this? But my first note on their stage was, wow, not even trying to pretend to sing this song. Oh my God. Because it didn't even look like they, like, why are you even wearing head mics at this point? Because you're not even mouthing the words.
I know. I think it was whoever it was that came on like right after Woon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Who sings right after him. I'm like, wow, he's not even like moving his mouth. Wow. Incredible. I did like, as far as like style and staging and choreo goes, I really enjoyed the part where Zuho, who is the, one of the rappers, comes in. There's like a little bit of like a break or change or something, and his part comes. I was like, oh, I really like this. I actually really, I sort of enjoyed Zuho's vibe throughout the rest of the episodes. He just seemed so chill and laid back. I was like, I need this chill, laid back energy right now. So overall, I think SF9's performance was so much better than their first week. And I do think that causes me to want to rank it a little bit higher than maybe it deserves. But I do feel like it was really, really good overall.
This is what I was talking about when we get to pity points, because we do see that they rank very highly with the groups. And I do think that compared to last week's, their performance was very good. I also, like, I don't think the performance was bad. I thought I thought it was pretty impactful with the staging. I thought the staging itself was very good. There was some choreo that I also thought was very fun. Chani has a dance break that I think is very fun. And, like, they all embody the stage. And so the overall stage is impactful, but, like, no one sings a note. So I would still rank it super low.
Except maybe for InSong, I do think
InSong he does. I have in mind InSong sings. So okay. InSong does sing. But, like, that's the only one. Like, they don't even pretend to do it. And, like, I don't know. That just it's a music. It's about music. And so I just didn't – it's not for me. If that's – if you don't care about live singing, and I know some people don't.
I feel like a lot of people on this show, like other groups, didn't care that other groups weren't singing live.
Which is weird because some of them still insisted on singing live.
Yeah.
So it's weird that they just didn't care that other groups didn't. But, like, I do think that their stage was not as impressive as some of the other ones that did sing live and also improved from last week. But every group voted for them. And I think that there is some, like, we didn't vote for them last time and they improved so much.
I wouldn't file that under pity points, because I think if they hadn't actually done, like, I do think what they did was good.
Yes.
Like, I would put it right there. Yeah. Good. Right. I think if they hadn't improved, that people would have continued to not vote for them. But because they did do better, and I think there are other groups that did worse than them.
Yeah.
So
I just don't think they were deserving of every single vote.
What are you gonna do?
Pity is probably too harsh of a word. I don't think they only voted for them. But I think that the human story of, like, I think they were moved by the fact that they could tell how much work they put in. They could tell how hard they tried. Like, they could see the improvement. I think that human element pushed their ranking higher.
Right. But also, I would argue, too, that there's a little bit of strategy going into the way that these teams are voting, which I think we're going to see.
I don't think there's a huge amount, because they still put ATs on top.
They haven't figured it out yet.
So that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't think there's a huge amount with putting SF9 in there.
There's going to be some.
Spoilers, SF9 does very good in the rankings.
They do.
Okay, to the boys. This one was so boring.
Oh my god.
That it almost killed me. Like,
I don't understand who is making the decisions for this group behind the scenes specifically.
I don't know.
But every single time I'm like, none of this feels real. Like, none of this matters.
No, we have to go to someone for advice thing.
No.
You don't.
And you don't, you're fine.
Spoilers, who they end up going to advice for was, like, the people that were on Road to Kingdom with them.
Yeah. So they get 1S Hwan Woong in Soho, Very Very's Dong Hun in Kangmin, and On and Off's Hyojin and Ishin? Ishin? Ichin? Ishin. Okay.
I don't know. Interesting to watch this time around, because when I watched it the first time, the only K-pop group I knew was BTS, ATEEZ, and Stray Kids. So, like, when these groups came in, it had no, like, I had no idea who they were, what they were, but this time I was like, oh, it's 1US. I like 1US. So that was interesting.
And honestly, I don't have anything to say about, all they do is they sit on a rooftop. It's three members of the boys and then, like, two members of these other groups, and they're just chatting.
It's all, like, very weird, too, because the boys members who go, one, it's only three of the boys who attend this weird meeting. And then they're like, oh, it's so awkward. I'm so uncomfortable, like, before those guys come. And it's like, why is it awkward? You're just talking to people at this, like, stage. So it's like, I don't know. I didn't see the value in it, unlike SF9's. I didn't see, it wasn't entertaining in any way. It was so boring. I wrote in my notes, I am not sure I see the value in this meeting. There are only three of them that even went. I don't know. I found it hard to be engaged. I can't tell you a single thing that happened. I couldn't tell you. I don't know.
I know that at some point for their behind the scenes, they must have had a conversation about, you know, what song they were going to do and how they wanted to spin it.
Yeah.
I have nothing to say about any of it.
This was when I sent you. So last night I sent Bobby a text message that was like, there is no reason for me to be watching one of these episodes if ATEEZ isn't performing in it. Full stop. This is awful. Mm-hmm. And it was during this.
It was a real low point for me, and I'd already hit a low point earlier in the evening. So, They perform O Sole Mio. They do another...
Yeah, we have this horrible interaction, and then we just go straight to them dancing. And it, we just go straight to their stage. So that's what I said. Like, I have tons of notes for SF9. Like, there was... I stopped. I was, really engaged. I wrote that thing about how I didn't understand this, and I sent Bobby a message that I'm bored, and then I started taking notes on their actual stage.
So they do another, I think it's another Game of Thrones inspired thing, because it's supposed to be the Red Wedding. Mm-hmm. I have never watched Game of Thrones. I am practically a Game of Thrones auntie.
I am a Game of Thrones auntie.
Won't do it. So they have a birdcage.
Uh-huh.
And there is a lady in the birdcage.
Uh-huh.
And there's some fire.
I liked the birdcage tango. I thought it was very good. I thought the choreo was very good. I liked
the birdcage tango is perhaps the only thing I could tell you about any part of this stage.
Honestly, I liked this stage. So this one, I think, I would rank this higher than SF9's.
I didn't like this one at all.
So different taste.
I didn't like any part of it. I was like, well,
I think.
I mean, except for the tango. I thought that was fun. But all the rest of it was just so like, what are you doing? Why are you going there? What does this mean?
I think that this might be a difference in our backgrounds. Like, I do have a very dancer background. And I think that their choreo and the sharpness with which all of them dance, I think it is incredibly satisfying to watch. I think if you are a choreo dancer person, the boys are really going to hit for you.
Yeah.
Because their choreo is so sharp. It's so satisfying to watch them as a big group hit it, because they're all so in sync and they are a bigger group. I remember thinking that the in synchronization of their choreo was what I liked about their opening stage too. So this stage did hit for me for that, and I also like this remix of O Sole Mio. I think it's pretty good.
it just washed over me. I was like, well, that's a thing that just happened, but I couldn't tell you anything about it.
So I really liked this one. I ranked it high. It was, for me, I think better than. And there also wasn't a ton of singing in this one, though. But some of the boys were singing.
I didn't note it, so I guess it was just exactly what I expected. But that's it. That's all I have to say about
it. I do like that remix of O Sole Mio better than I like the original version of O Sole Mio. Because when I heard this song, I remember thinking, oh, I liked that. And then I tried to add the original to my playlist. And I was like, oh, I don't like that. So I also do like a Latin-inspired song. Golden Hour 2 hit for me. So, or was it Golden Hour 1?
It's Golden Hour 1 was the Latin one.
Golden Hour 1 did hit for me. So, yeah, Golden Hour 2's Ice on My Teeth. That's right.
Okay, so Icon comes up next. And here, this was so cute.
Yeah.
So one thing I really liked about the Icon segment was, first of all, when they were trying to pick songs, they actually knew a lot of them.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, that makes me feel endeared to them because they actually are aware of who ATEEZ are.
Yes.
And then they talk about Jinhwan, or Jay, who is the leader, talks about how he has Hong Joon's number, and he seems so
pleased. He also apparently has Woo Young's number and doesn't brag about that.
Because Woo Young went and hunted him down, it sounds like, and was like, give me your number. We're friends now. They show this clip of Icon chatting with ATEEZ at the, when some downtime and when they're recording the previous episode, and they're sitting next to each other and they're talking about, where is your company? Where's your dorm? And they realize that they all kind of live close to each other. And I remember at the time that Iconics really were endeared to ATEEZ because of how kind ATEEZ were being to Icon.
Yeah.
because a lot of Iconics would talk about how Icon were sort of not really, didn't have a lot of other idol friends.
Yeah.
And, you know, kind of kept to themselves. But they really appreciated how ATs were just being so, like, which ATs are fanboys of Icon.
Yeah, like, they were
just being successful fans.
Their eyes when they were talking to Icon were so big. Like, you could see the stars in Sanghwa's eyes. Mm-hmm. I know. He just, you know, they were, like, tripping over themselves to lean towards Icon and talk to them. And it was very cute and very endearing. And I was happy to see how happy it made ATs.
I know.
ATs did seem like just so happy to talk to them. They're like, oh, thank God someone's talking to us.
See, what during this time, I actually got just not like choked up, but just a little bit emotional because I'm like, I'm seeing how ATs is taking every opportunity to make connections in their industry, like real connections with people that they can be like friends with.
Yeah.
And I was like, it's because they don't have seniors. Like every other group, they talk about their company and their seniors and the people that they know and that they can interact with. I'm like, ATs doesn't have that.
Yeah.
And so and none of they've them really came had
from,
to...
like, a real, like none of them are Nepo babies. Like, they didn't come from, like, a family of idols or, like, I mean, they, I guess they could be Nepo babies. I don't know that much about them. But they don't seem to have those kind of, like, connections to people in the industry that other people have.
Yeah. So it was nice seeing them just take every opportunity to interact with people who will, you know, treat them with kindness and, you know, give them that, like, what's the word I'm looking for? Like, you know, somebody to, like, look up to. Mm-hmm. You know?
It's weird in this Icon scene that we never really, like, we don't see Icon, like, meet up with anyone. Like, they're not forced to go on some learning excursion, like, some outing. And it's hard to know if Icon was just like, no, we're not going to do that. Or, like, Mnet didn't make them. Because there is no reason that we later on see ATs play laser tag.
Other than maybe ATs was like, we're bored, let's go play laser tag. But, like, we all know this was during Fever Part 2 promotions. They were not bored.
No.
They didn't have time to go play laser tag. What's happening?
Well, during this time, they were also recording that Mnet show where they also play laser tag. And I wondered if they actually just used some of the footage from that. The Salary Lupin.
I think the Salary Lupin had already been recorded, though.
Had it?
Because that came out earlier.
Mm-hmm. I just know that San had that same pink hair.
He does.
But he had it for a long time because of Imitation.
He did. Mm-hmm. So. Weirdly.
Anyways,
it was a weird thing to see.
Anyways, back to Icon. They don't do a thing like that, so.
No, they don't. One other thing that Iconics pointed out was that Bobby was being very talkative with ATs, and he specifically compliments Jungho.
I know.
His high note.
Really.
It was very cute.
Bobby's also in My Religion. Just dedicated to Jungho's high notes.
Stay tuned. Stay tuned for that. I don't know. Are they staying tuned, or has it already happened?
Be hard to know. By then. Maybe. Okay. Who's to say?
So, who can say? But anyway, I remember Iconics saying that that was unusual for Bobby to be as talkative as he was being. And so I was like, oh, I like that. One of the things that they talk about when they're trying to decide their song is they really want something that they can put in their own style, which I appreciate that philosophy
a lot.
I feel like of all the groups, I felt like ATs and Icon and B2B, honestly, were the most transformative.
Yes.
With taking the original song and, like, really turning it into something brand
new. If we're ranking on transformative, this is up there. I hate this remix so much. I think it's bad. Like, I think it's bad. So that sucks because I liked everything until we get to the song. And then I was like, ooh, no, I don't like it. So
I like the song.
Yeah.
It's not my favorite, but I do like it. And I like how very Icon it is. I think the changes that they made a lot of sense for their group.
Yes. I mean, I understand why they had to make those changes. Mm-hmm. I just don't enjoy the version. Like, I don't like the chorus that they changed. It just doesn't hit for me, but I understand that a lot of people did like it. A lot of people were super into it. So my tastes. Don't come at me.
I like it for what it is. I just like it for what it is. I, you know, will always prefer the original Inception to it, but it didn't like ruin my life that they did something so completely different from the original.
I don't think I disliked it because it was different. Because honestly, Inception ranks pretty low on my ATs list. Like, if I had to.
It's crazy.
I know. It's very different it's from madness. A lot of people. Like, but if I had to rank, like, you know, I like all ATs songs, but if I had to rank them, Inception would be pretty low for me. So it wasn't so much about them taking, like, my favorite, most iconic song. Mm-hmm. It was just more the, like, this just wasn't to my taste.
Yeah.
I did like the extras that we got of their recording process and their kind of behind the scenes. I thought that was cute. I wrote on my notes, thank God some of these men are singing. So,
yeah, I enjoy their performance because it did feel
like a performance.
Like a performance. Mm-hmm. I do feel, so when I get to my rankings, they're not super high for me because I felt like they were relying a little bit too much on the props and on the stage itself than on their actual performance.
Yeah.
So that, I don't know, just felt like it was a little bit lacking in that area for that reason.
I agree.
And that brings us to the end of the episode where we get our scores update.
And then I put in all caps, they went all the way to fifth fucking place. ATs was at first, and they went to fifth with the fan vote and watching bullshit.
They didn't, I don't think that they actually placed fifth. I think that in that specific category.
Okay, that does make me feel better.
So here's where we are. For the judges' rankings, it's ATs, Stray Kids, The Boys, SF9, B2B, and Icon. For the groups' rankings, so these are all the categories just separated, it was ATs, B2B, Stray Kids, The Boys, Icon, and SF9. For the streaming, it is Stray Kids, Icon, ATs, B2B, The Boys, SF9. This, the streaming, is where you see just the fandoms.
Yeah.
Just the fandoms by themselves, because the fandoms were the only ones that were streaming, and most people were only streaming their one video, right? Then we get to the voting. Okay, I'm going to refresh your memory of where we landed at the end of last episode. It was ATs, Stray Kids, The Boys, B2B, Icon, SF9, right? So who are our bottom two? Everyone, say it together. Our bottom two are Icon and SF9. We get to the voting. Stray Kids, SF9, Icon, B2B, ATs, The Boys.
So weird that that's how that played
it's
out.
It's so weird. It's so weird. Just an interesting little pattern is beginning to emerge here. We've talked before about how forcing everybody to vote for three groups is why this has happened.
Yeah.
If we were not voting for three groups, you would see that the streaming numbers and the voting numbers would be very, very similar.
In which case, ATs would get, what, third? Are they fourth?
Yeah. Third. They'd be third. Yeah. Third consistently. Which I think the only difference that would have made for them overall is they would have bumped up from third to second.
Yeah.
Overall, they would not have won.
No.
Unless they got rid of the fandom voting altogether.
And the first stage that Stray Kids won.
Yeah. I don't think that would have... I don't know. I don't understand how the points work, so I won't get into
it. Anyway,
It's too hard to understand how the numbers work. So that's where we are at the end of episode 4.
Okay. Take me to episode 5. I'm ready.
All right. Episode 5.
Here we go.
Episode 5 begins with a little fake out because they just jump right into AT's performance at first.
Because AT's performance is so going to be so good. It's going to cook so much. They're like.
But I was like, excuse me, are you not going to give me the behind the scenes for AT's? Are you just going to skip that altogether? Mm-hmm. Excuse me? I'm not. But they didn't. They just show like the first couple, like 20 seconds of their intro. And then they're like, to see what song they picked.
Yeah.
And then we have to go back in time. And for this, we see them, you know, sitting around their table and talking. Mm-hmm. And then we see a lot of Hong Joong in the studio working and, you know, doing little vlogs and stuff like that.
And they talk, like, all of these conversations are like, we love Icon so much. We love all of their songs.
We're so excited. We've been performing them. Sounds like I went to their concert when I was a child.
And they've got this picture of him where he looks so nerdy.
He looks like the biggest dweeb you've ever seen. It's amazing.
Yeah, they're just all very, like, adorably excited. They are enchanted by the fact that they get to do an Icon song in front of Icon for this show. Mm-hmm. They're just ecstatic about that.
Namjoon has this moment where he says, you know, how could we dare to take one of their songs and change it? Mm-hmm. Like, it's just, they're carrying this heavy weight of the fanboy right now.
Yeah. And they also talk about, like, we got first, and so that adds some pressure to us. Like, we want to make sure that we do a stage that is at least comparable to the stage we did last time. But, of course, we want to live up to expectations. And I do feel like a lot of these idol groups are really suffering under weight of expectations. Like, they not other people's not doing it, but, like, they're succumbing to the pressure of the expectations. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Which is making it hard for them. But we have this stupid scene of ATs doing laser tag and like BB guns. Like, they shoot BB guns at each other. And I was like, this is...
Yeah. They say something like, oh, we're going to have to, like, have gunplay in our stage. So let's, like, get used to doing it. Uh-huh. I was like, y'all don't... Do you? There's only one part where you're shooting guns.
And only Woo-young shoots one.
Only Woo-young shoots the gun. And then they have this thing where they're going into play and they're like, everybody gang up on Yo-song. And then they show Yo-song just wandering in the maze like, where am I supposed to go? What am I doing? And then that's it. And there's like, there's no further context.
Yeah, it's really stupid. And if I was not an ATs fan, I would have been like, why did you show me this? Like, when I felt, like how I felt when they showed me the boys going underwater last time.
It was like, they didn't even show like enough for us to like see their super competitive personalities come out. There was no like narrative.
It's not like they had a BB tripping guy there with them with his own gun, like showing them how to dance with a gun.
Yeah. They just went to go play laser tag.
Yeah. Well, I hope they had a nice time.
I'm sure they did. I'm sure none of them felt like it was a waste of their time. But then we get into Rhythm Ta, The Awakening of Summer.
Yeah. And it's so good.
It's so good.
So I do have some notes. What do you think? In fairness to my complaints about other groups, AT's members also drop a lot of their lines.
Yeah. San in particular. Yeah.
He does have... it's really hard to do a whisper line live, and he has several whispery type lines. He's also delivering his lines during some intense choreo, and San does tend to focus more on the choreo. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, there is more lip singing in this AT stage than I would say is normal.
Yeah, for sure.
And so, like...
I also think we've got a loud backtrack situation, because, like, for Yo-song, you can... hear him like raise his voice above the backtrack at times, so it's like it's hard for it to hear him until he like switches it up a little bit. Jongo, obviously, no backtrack, has never met a backtrack, doesn't know what that is,
doesn't want a backtrack. I think he's insulted. Would fight you
if you suggested him having a backtrack. Hong Joon has got his microphone, he's fully rapping live, doing his thing. The, you know, Woo-young and Yuno and Sanghwa were getting a little bit, I think, a little mixture. I think with them, it's mostly the louder backtrack.
I do think
the only line that I know for sure is 100% lip synced is San's, I just want to make you move.
Yeah.
And I can fully my personal opinion, because San does tend to drop out on the softer high parts, I think he could do it. I think he could do it live. I think he's just more concerned about the choreo in that moment.
Yeah.
And doesn't want to, because it takes a lot of concentration to sing that soft and that high at the same time, like you were saying.
Yeah.
So I think for him, it's just a conscious choice of the part I want to focus on is the choreo at this time.
And he has like a real acting choreo part in that moment.
Yeah.
But it, you know, so I wanted to mention it because I, you know, harped on all of the other groups not singing. I feel like it would be really unfair for me to be like, but I'm not going to mention it for ATs.
No. It is, it's pretty blatant. And I think they all knew. I think we're all in on the joke on this one. I think we're all in on the joke with all of them. I don't think any of them are trying to fool the audience.
Yeah.
But with this one, it is pretty obvious. To me, that's the only one that's like super obvious.
Yeah. Hong Joong's rap in this is so good. His, the one where he's like, I mean, he has kind of two raps, but one's more speaky, like a... where he's standing on the podium. That one's also good. Yeah. But the one
not
where he's
the motivational
like,
speaker, but the other one.
Yeah, that one is so good. That's one of my favorite Hong Joong raps, I think. And he delivers it so well. He has just such charisma on stage during his parts that I think he would elevate. Like, if you put him in a different group that didn't perform as well as ATs, I think he would elevate their performances just by his charisma during his rap. He brings so much. Like, this one, it just is a real standout. There's a reason I left Kingdom with, like, Hongjoong as my bias. He is, his raps are...
He does stand out. Even in ATs, he stands out.
Yeah. Very impressive to me. I did write in my notes, the way this show is just the story of people stealing ATs' ideas, prove me wrong.
Okay, listen, I don't want to be mean. And I did say that I liked SF9's performance, but I did feel
that there was a lot of bits.
They were reheating some of ATs' nachos.
And I will say that we might see Stray Kids reheat some of ATs' nachos from this stage pretty soon. That's, I mean, come at me. I don't care. This is my safe space, not yours.
I'm not going to call plagiarism.
Right.
I'm not saying anybody plagiarized anybody. No. But I do think it's pretty clear to me with SF9 in particular.
Yeah.
I feel like they were paying the most, with this stage in particular, that the way that they staged it, the way that
even the opening shot,
the whole thing, yeah, very much felt like we are going to just do what ATs did, but we're going to do it in our own way. I'm not mad about it.
No, it honestly turned out
I'm not upset. I think it was a great
stage.
But I do feel that it needs to be acknowledged that ATs set some standards and the other groups took note and followed along.
Yeah. So ATs' stage is inspired by a TV show. It's a clear, blatant copy inspiration of that TV show. Like, they are trying, like, you know, they're not like trying to hide it. They're trying to make you think you're watching that TV show, which is Money Heist.
Yeah.
And so, you know, they have taken a thing that was big in Korea, big in pop culture, and they have turned it into a stage with this song, Rhythm Ta. And I'm just saying that we might see another great group do that.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying. So, let's leave that there.
that's all we're saying. So then, so ATs is great and perfect and wonderful.
Well, after their performance, we do see several of the other group members look, you know, kind of just delighted. Like, they, like, look delighted. Like, the way I would look after a very good ATs stage. Just like, wow, that was so fun. So that was really nice. I actually like seeing the groups react to the stages. I actually think that's really fun and nice.
It's kind of nice because it's like, oh, they're just like me.
And then my other note is that, you know, we've talked about, I think in the last episode, we talked about Stray Kids being kind of awkward about, like, having to act. And then we had SF9 be kind of awkward about having to act. And I just, like, it's interesting to me that that is never even a consideration for ATs, like, because they are always acting. Like, that is, I mean, I guess my point is that they are the theater kids of.
They are the theater kids.
Like, so it's never, like, to them, it's so natural that we're going to act and react and like it. So it's never like a conscious thought for them. It's like I'm embodying a character every time I'm on stage and I am going to embody it. And like that is their full thought process, which I'm just saying is like different. I'm not saying it's better. Like if you're not into that, like that's fine.
Listen, I've read the Reddit hate. A lot of people
are
feel like ATs is overdoing
it.
Like, all the time, they're complaining about it. Like, they feel like they're just doing too much. And it's like, if it's not for everybody.
Yeah.
And I don't understand it, but I also understand it.
Right.
So.
Like, I'm not saying that their way of doing it is better than Stray Kids. I'm saying that it hits for me. Like,
yeah.
I appreciate this commitment to story. And it seems like, you know, so it seems like some of the other groups are more into performance as like performing a song, which is totally, again, fine. It is a matter of taste. So like that, I'm not saying that's a bad way to do it. Just like,
but it is interesting that they're like realizing that they need to be doing it for this competition.
For this competition specifically. Mm-hmm. And we never see, I mean, and obviously the editors choose to show us whatever, so maybe there are behind the scenes of ATs acting awkward about having to act, but I don't think there are based on everything I've ever seen of ATs. The acting is in their lifeblood.
We do get behind the scenes of all of these performances.
Yeah, eventually.
Like really in depth behind the scenes.
Which we will watch after this, right? Like we are gonna do those. Like,
sure, sure. We should. We'll watch those as a treat for all of our suffering.
Yeah.
So yeah, and you don't really see that awkwardness
no.
come out in them at all.
It's never a thing they talk about. Like, they always know what the concept of a stage is going to be, and they always mm-hmm. act for that concept. Like, that's never a thing that they ever have to explicitly discuss, it seems. Like, once mm-hmm. they know what the concept is, they never have to discuss, like, well, we need to act in this concept. It mm-hmm. is like, here is the concept. And everyone's like, okay, well, let me embody the concept.
Let me figure out my... I know that there's one part, I believe, Yosung for Awakening of Summer talks about how he wasn't sure what his character should be. Like, who am I in this stage?
Yeah.
And it's like, it was automatically he knew, I'm not just me.
Yeah.
I'm playing somebody else, but he just didn't know who that character was. Right. And he talks about how he developed this. He talked to somebody.
I think
and
they it was were the like, BB Trippin guys.
Maybe. I think. They were like, you're the gentleman.
Right.
And so that's why you get him doing that little bow mm-hmm. and being just the way that he is. So it was like he knew he had to be someone.
Right.
It was just, who am I going to come up with that makes sense for this concept?
Right. So that's just a note on our theater kids, the loves of our lives. So last night when I watched this, I did watch episode 4, all of it, and I was like, no, I'm not going to sleep after staying up for an hour and a half and not seeing ATs. This is trash. Mm-hmm. And I knew ATs was first, so I did watch the start of episode 5 last night so that I could mm-hmm. enjoy ATs's performance before going to sleep.
This was my favorite stage. When I originally watched Kingdom, this stage was, this week was just a delight because, you know, we had a good previous week mm-hmm. and we're all feeling good. And this stage was just particularly good. This stage really hit for me.
For me, I liked Into the Wonderland better, mm-hmm. but this one was a very close second. But I loved Into the Wonderland so much. Like, you know, mm-hmm. that just can't be overstated how much I loved it. So even if this was a close second, it was still like, I loved this stage. I think this was Cassandra's mm-hmm. favorite stage from Kingdom.
This one's mine. I didn't watch it till this morning. I was like, I can't be awakened.
I did watch Rhythm Ta again this morning. So I watched it twice as a reward.
That was nice. So after ATs, mm-hmm. we have B2B, who have switched songs with Stray Kids. Mm-hmm. I love B2B as people. I don't always love their music, but I love them as humans. Mm-hmm. So I'm always here for them and whatever they're doing.
I think that Minhyuk is the hottest man in K-pop. And I'm so grateful that he's here for me.
he's really bringing something special to the table. So we get with Icon, B2B doesn't do anything stupid.
No.
They're just like, we're going to just talk about the arrangement. Mm-hmm. We're going to work on it. We get to see each of them doing kind of their own thing.
We saw Eunkwang go with a producer and like work mm-hmm. on the arrangement and like finding the perfect knock. I thought that was really fun. Mm-hmm. Like that is the type of behind the scenes that I want to see. Not
I know.
ET's
this
playing
is what
laser
I
tag.
Want. Yeah. Give me more. Like the behind the scenes that we got for Wonderland was so much better than the ones we got for this one.
Yeah.
I was like, give me more of this, please. They do have a conversation with Stray Kids where they meet up with Sriracha and they're like just chatting.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, what is the point of this? There was one hilarious part. I don't know if it was in this part or if it's in the Stray Kids part where Chung Sub like just straight up hangs up on them.
Yeah.
Because they're like, who's your favorite Stray Kid? And he just like, boop. It was very funny. But anyway, so they are talking about, you know, what Stray Kids song they want to do. They
it was
picking.
Interesting to me, though, that they, say what song they picked first, because I don't remember. Backdoor.
That's the song they picked.
It was interesting to me that they kept talking about how high the notes were in Backdoor. They're like, this song is so high, we're going to have trouble singing it. And I was like, it's higher than what B2B can do. And it made me very curious to who sings those lines in Backdoor originally.
There were high. I'm going to be so honest with you. I was fully checked out during this.
Yeah, like
actually, no, I was fully checked out during the Stray Kids segment, but I don't remember B2B talking about
Chang Sub specifically. High. When he's like in the recording room, he's like, "This is so high. What is it so high for? Why is this so high?" Like he says it multiple times.
Well, they had a conversation before where Eun Kwang is like, "I want to add a lot of ad libs."
Mm-hmm. No, that's so that that's we can Min really. Hyuk that's like, you should add some ad libs. Who tells Eun Kwang?
I thought it was Eun Kwang who said that.
No, Min Hyuk suggests it, and.
Okay.
Yeah. I feel like we watched different things, but I'm so confident on this. It's in my notes.
After ATs was over, I was pretty done emotionally and didn't want to do it. But here's the thing. I loved this performance.
Oh, yeah. This performance is great.
So much.
It was so fun. I'm a real sucker for like a party at the end of a performance. ATs does it a lot. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's one of the reasons I'm really drawn to AT's songs. But B2B did it here, and I just loved it. Like, they all come out, and, like, the confetti's going, and they're all dancing, and I just really love that. And then you got...
I really loved the staging. I liked how they used, like, the backstage doors as the back door.
Yeah.
I love that each... They talked about it. Each member has his own space, and that's, like, tailored to his vibe.
Yeah.
And it was just really fun the way that they did it. And then they come out. And like in front of the audience, and it was just, and it, like you said, it was a big party. And I do not like this, the original song. Original song does nothing for me, but I love
I don't know that I've heard the original song. Secret, I've got Stray Kids blocked on Spotify, so
it's a secret that you've already shared,
so I can't hear their songs. So I don't know. I don't know if I do like the original.
They don't really show up on my playlist. Like they don't show up on my like when Spotify takes over and starts like throwing songs at me.
Yeah.
Rarely will recommend a Stray Kids song.
No, it's always a Hybe song.
It's always Hybe. It's always in hypen for me. TXT has just had a comeback and then it's always TXT. Every single time. But anyway, so I really enjoyed this. I loved it a lot. I thought singing was great. Energy was great. I loved the staging. I loved that each one had his own like little personality. Yeah. It was just great. It was perfect.
Well, them talking about how high the notes were in this song did make me want to like look up who sings those high notes originally. Like which member is Stray Kids? I almost went and watched a line distribution video.
Was it Woojin? Was it before Woojin left?
I don't know. I don't know because I didn't go do it.
She didn't do it. That was against her principles.
No, I would have done it except that I finished watching and then we started recording. So you know, I couldn't. But I did make me curious because maybe it is Woojin.
What notes are the high ones though?
I don't know. This is definitely something that so it's got to be the part that Chang Sub sings because. He was complaining about it.
No, they changed it a lot, though. There's no point in me looking at this because I don't know what is what. Well, based on what we see with the Stray Kids performance, which is next, it's probably either Han or Sungmin.
Yeah.
Unless Woojin has left.
Yes. So, but then I did find that interesting because it was... The reason that I noted it was because Min Hyuk was like, you know, we probably will need to add some singing to this song, some vocal riffs. And then Chang Sub was like, why is this so high? It could be that they raised the key and he wasn't singing in the original key, but I don't think they did because, like, the way it was shot, I don't think that's what happened. I think the original key was high. And it could just be that it was high for Chang Sub, who doesn't do the high parts. Like, he's a lower voice, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Eun Kwang tends to handle those.
Yeah, so it could have just been the arrangement that he, could like, his parts were high for him, for what he does normally. So it could have just been that. But
possibly.
I liked that song. I liked that stage. And then we go to Stray Kids.
Then we go to Stray Kids. So Stray Kids are, they also don't do like a dumb thing. Oh, no, they do a dumb thing. I forgot. They go and they make rings.
Oh, yeah. I walked out of the room for that part.
I was like, what is happening?
That was really weird. That had nothing to do with anything.
They were doing the production. I
liked the part with Three Ratcha. Like, we get this fun part of them talking about, they decide to do I'll Be Your Man, and I just need to have myself a little party here.
Strap in, folks.
I'll Be Your Man is an Eden song. So
it is.
Stray Kids chooses an Eden song. Like, B2B has a lot of songs. Eden's on a handful. He is on a handful. He has produced for B2B quite a number of times, but, like, the majority of B2B B2B songs are not Eden songs.
Right.
But this one is an Eden song.
Which was one of their like mega popular hits. Mm-hmm. It does happen to be an Eden song. He was friends with Hyunchik, mm-hmm. who is my favorite B2B. Mm-hmm.
Who is member, not here.
Who's not here because he was in the military right. at this time.
He's the one who's starting Goblin.
Yeah. No. That's Sungjae.
Oh, that's Sungjae. Okay.
Hyunchik is the other one.
The other one. Okay. Well, Eden and Hyunchik both produced it. So it's not just an Eden yeah. song. Like, yeah. Mm-hmm. But Eden is a producer on the song.
They work together. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I think that's true for all of the B2B songs that he's worked on, is that they're with that other person. I don't know that for sure, possibly. But I think it's true. Anyways, you can look see up, his credits on KQ's mm-hmm. website. If you go to KQ's website, KQ's official mm-hmm. website, and look up Eden, because he is an artist under KQ, you can find mm-hmm. a list of all of his songs, which does include many B2B songs.
Yes.
Thank you.
So, you can also look up the lyrics on Genius. They're there, too.
It was very gratifying
not
to
on
me.
Not on Spotify, though.
Yeah, Spotify mm-hmm. has no one listed as the producer. So that's
they're just like, this comes from Cube, and that's all we can tell you.
So I just wanted everyone to know that it's an Eden song. All my Eden haters out there, suck it.
Yeah, you're going to take this one off your playlist. Sorry.
I do have it on a playlist. I don't love this song, though. Sorry, Eden. After all of that.
So many questionable music takes coming from you today. I don't know.
It's the beginning. I think the beginning of this song is so weird. It's like a soft whisper in. You guys will just have to listen to it.
That was like a second gen thing.
I know.
That was like a thing.
But once we get into the actual song, it's a good song. You just
the melody's gorgeous.
Yeah, you just have to get past that first part. And it has the Eden sound. Like, mm-hmm, when you listen to it, you're like...
They're really majestic.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And even the parts, you know, they were talking about what a hard song it is to sing. Stray Kids were. They were talking about what a hard song it is to sing and all of the different, like, riffs and high notes and ad-libs mm-hmm. and whatever. And all of that is stuff that Eden loves to do. Like, Eden loves mm-hmm. making hard-to-sing songs. That's why he can produce for ATs so well, because Jung-ho can do all of it. mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. he writes his songs with Jung-ho in mind, they've said. Like,
he absolutely does.
Like, if he didn't have Jung-ho, he couldn't do a lot of the things he does with ATs' songs. And I think that's why we mm-hmm. have such a difference in the Psychers' music as we do with ATs's. Mm-hmm. And I also think that's why they're kind of giving more to Maddox for Psychers. Mm-hmm. As opposed to Eden. Like, I just, like, Eden can do it because he's a very talented man, but I don't think
he's also very busy.
Yeah.
He's very busy. This is not the Eden special.
Every episode is the Eden special, if you believe.
I just think it's really good that we're hearing more from the other producers as well.
Yeah.
Especially Maddox. Maddox has been there from the beginning, and I love that he's getting a little bit more to do. Mm-hmm. So that's just my 2 cents. Mm-hmm. So,
anyways, back to I'll Be Your picks, Man and Stray Kids.
I'll Be Your Man. While Three Racha are doing the work, and we only get to see a tiny little bit of that, mm-hmm. the other members go off, the four leftovers, mm-hmm. they go off and they do this thing where they make rings. They make like team rings,
mm-hmm.
and they're like hammering. Little like letters into them.
This is where I put in my notes, I should pay attention, but one cannot.
It wasn't important. It didn't matter at all.
No.
It literally did not matter at
and
all.
I would not expect anyone to have paid attention to ATs playing with laser tag either. So.
It took less time, I will say. It took less time than this did, but whatever. So they go off, they make rings, they bring them back, they present them to Thrasher. Changbin seems mildly offended by his because mm-hmm. he's like, what does this mean? And that's it. Mm-hmm. So end of story. So then they get into the performance.
And what I want to say, like, up top is I really respect that they did decide to sing this song live. They did not have to. Mm-hmm. We saw them record it. They decided mm-hmm. that they would be singing this song live. And I mm-hmm. respect that a lot. At the same time, I know that there are people who feel like Jungho's vocal tone just doesn't hit for them. That is true for me for basically every member of Stray Kids. Their vocal tone just does not hit for me.
Honestly, for me, it's a JYP thing.
Yeah.
JYP vocalists, I don't know what it is. All of them have this very similar quality. Like, if you listen to the Twice songs,
mm-hmm.
I struggle to listen to Twice because the vocal tones are just, they jar with the way I feel the world should be.
Right.
And, like, I'm not saying that they're bad. I know that they're massively popular. I know that lots of people love them, and they deserve to be loved. But for me, I do not enjoy their songs because I don't enjoy their vocal tones.
Yeah.
And it is very similar with Stray Kids as well.
It, like,
you also hear it with ITZY. Mm. I heard it with GOT7. It's just a very common thing that they do with all of their groups where they all of them... There's somebody on JYP staff that loves this vocal tone. And they are the opposite of me.
Right. And, like, I can't say anything about the technical proficiency. Like, they might be singing the most technically proficient that anyone has ever mm-hmm. sung in the world. What I am talking specifically about is the tone of their vocal mm-hmm. quality. Like, it does... And it wasn't even when they were straining. When he was like, oh, yeah, you got it that time. I was like, oh, mm-hmm. but it sounded bad to me. Like, it just didn't... like, it didn't sound... pleasant to my ear, and this mm-hmm. is why I'm not a fan of Stray Kids. This is not saying that they're bad. This is me saying that their vocals just don't do it for me.
Mm-hmm.
So I appreciate that they were singing live. I do think it makes a difference. I would give them points for that,
mm-hmm.
but I didn't enjoy the arrangement of the song. I did not think the stage was very cohesive.
Mm-hmm. I was once again very confused mm-hmm. about what was going on in the stage. Like, I kind of understood that there... One thing I did like when Through Roger were talking about how they were going to approach the song was they were not going to approach it as, like, a man for a woman that he loves.
Yeah.
They were like, we want to make it about just our loved ones in general. It could be friends, could be family. And I really liked that.
Mm-hmm.
But then I did not feel that really came across in the way that they presented it, because the way that what they did, it was like they were selling their soul to the devil, and they got this heart, and then there's this blood, and then this child rose from the dead. Is that what happened at the end? I don't know. I was very confused, and it made me feel dumb. And perhaps that's on me.
I feel like that goes back to the, it didn't feel cohesive. Like, I did not understand mm-hmm. what was happening. It was made, you know, I threw out the song. So, like, a lot of noise was made about Ian's voice crack at the end.
I barely even noticed it.
Right. Like, that is, I want to be so clear that my opinion of their stage has literally nothing to do with that voice crack. I don't care if an idol's voice ever cracks during a performance because mm-hmm. that means that they're performing it live.
If Mnet hadn't had that entire segment afterwards where they were showing us the empty, like, really dressing horrible. Room.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Ian and Changbin, or not Changbin, Bangchan are talking mm-hmm. about it. I would not have known that anything had gone wrong.
No, like it sounded like a live performance. I didn't mm-hmm. like the arrangement of the song, but I think that I don't even think that's Three Racha. I think it's more that I don't like those vocal tones. Like, I don't like their singing voice, so it was hard for me to enjoy the arrangement of the song.
And then, the arrangement was fine.
And then you add the, like, lack of a cohesive storytelling. Mm-hmm. I did think there were some very neat effects. They had some very neat effects. And I think this is something that JYP and Stray Kids are very good at. Like, they can, you know, with, like, you mentioned last time that they had the guy hanging upside down, whose name escapes mm-hmm. me. Whatever. There was a guy hanging upside down, and he had, like, the mirror.
Well,
thing.
The guy hanging upside down was a dancer. So
yeah,
we don't know,
but, like, the guy above him, whoever that was.
Bangchan?
Bangchan.
I think it's Bangchan and not Bangchan. I think it's Bang. I don't know.
Well, anyways, they had that effect, and it was very cool. I think this one also had some cool effects. Like, they had some neat mm-hmm. effects that they did. But as a whole, I didn't think there was a lot of cohesion. And, yeah, I didn't like the song, so that sucked.
My overall feeling about Stray Kids' performances, just in general, is that I always feel like they're doing too much.
Like, they're trying... But that's ATEEZ's thing, doing too much.
No. I don't mean, like... performance-wise, I mean, like, effects-wise.
Mm.
Like, there's always so much stuff, and things are happening, and I feel like I want them to just calm down mm-hmm. for just a second and just give me something very simple and straightforward.
Well, I think that's, like, when I say, well, they had some really cool effects, but it lacked cohesion, I think they're focusing on those effects instead of mm-hmm. having just, like, one moment and bringing it all together.
It almost kind of feels like they don't feel like, or their performance is going to be enough, so they feel like they have to supplement it
mm.
with all of this, like, pizzazz and sparkle mm-hmm. and stuff. Whereas with like an AT's performance, and I know I'm going to be directly compare these and probably going to make some people mad, but I'm just trying to like
probably no one who's listening to this podcast. Like, hopefully you didn't listen to our imitation episodes on our AT's podcast and expect us to be like anything other than, yeah, AT's was the best. Like, I don't know.
But I feel like with AT's, their extra stuff doesn't take away from the performance. It's like, I don't know how to explain.
Well, the expert said it.
Do you know what I'm trying to
say? The expert said it. He was like, it was simple but impactful.
Mm-hmm.
Like, take their Into the Wonderland. They have the ship, but there's like a big effect, and that's the Kraken, and they make a big thing of it. But everything else is just like normal moments. They do the same thing in Rhythm Ta with the blimp, right? Like, they have a moment. And I think AT's songs are so suited for this too because of Eden and how he structures his songs. They build to a thing. And so you have their entire performance building up to a big moment. And then you have the release. And I feel like that is part song structure and also staging. Like, they stage it in relation to that song structure. And it's simple until you get to the big moment. And then you have one very impactful moment that people will remember.
I feel like what I'm trying to say is that AT's, for them, the sparkle is bonus. It's not the substance. They're not trying to cover up anything. And I feel like I'm not trying to say that Stray Kids don't have enough talent. I feel like they are mega talented, but I also feel like they tend to cover up themselves a lot with a lot of the stuff instead of just letting their talent speak for itself. I think that's what I'm trying to say. And I feel like this might be something that's coming from being part of a big company like JYP. Where they do feel like they have to live up to an expectation.
I would also say that a lot of times the best art comes from not having much to work with, because you have to pare down to what's really important. And if you
make the most of what you have.
Yeah. And if you have the money to do everything, then you just do everything. You don't have to pick and choose what's going to be the best for the performance. Because I think that is a thing with this performance specifically. I didn't feel like there was like a climax to the performance. They didn't build to anything. It was just, I mean, I guess like maybe that devil part.
The devil part, or where like the temple like falls down. Maybe?
Yeah, but they weren't there
but
for that.
But isn't that the thing? It feels like there were so many things that happened and so many things that were meant to make an impact that I don't know which one was supposed to be the thing.
Well, the thing too, like when AT's brings out the blimp, while AT's is bringing out the blimp, they are performing and Jungho is singing a high note. That is, they are married together. When the temple was falling, was Stray Kids even on the stage?
Or? They were walking to their next location.
So that's not like, that's not part of their performance. That's not married to their performance. That is the background. That's kind of like with Icon, and a lot of their performance was the moving set as opposed to Icon actually performing.
Well, anyway. So they do that. I thought it was fine. That's just where I would put it. It was just fine. They made a big deal out of IN having a vocal moment, and I did not
think that vocal moment
was a big deal. No. But he felt like it was, and Mnet thought I needed to also think that it was.
I
thought he did fine.
I thought it was really charming to see them all cheering for him after that, like the group, like that was really endearing to me. The way I actually think Stray Kids' personalities are on the whole pretty endearing, especially how they relate to each other. I don't necessarily like the way they talk to some other groups sometimes, but like the way they talk to each other, I do find it very endearing. They seem like they are a close-knit group, and I thought it was really endearing the way that they tried to cheer up Ian and like didn't, you know, the way Bang Chan was like, I also messed up a lot too, you know, like that was really, I don't know, I thought it was really nice, so I liked that.
So yeah, so those are the performances, and then we get into the scores.
Should we give our own scores first, our own rankings?
Okay.
Who is your sixth place?
My sixth place was probably Stray Kids.
Okay. Mine was... Truly, mine's a tie. There are two groups that I thought were equal level, and I think one of them is going to surprise you. But it was Stray Kids and Icon. I thought they were basically the same
for me. That doesn't surprise me from you. Mine, my bottom three were Icon, The Boys, and Stray Kids. Mm-hmm. Stray Kids and The Boys, because I couldn't, it didn't land for me. They were up there, they were doing some things. There were moments, but there wasn't anything cohesive. I do feel like I should give Stray Kids a little bit more credit because they did sing live. But I guess if the judges don't care, then maybe I don't either for this. I don't know.
You have to have a good, like, there's levels, right? Like, singing live isn't going to save a good stage or a bad stage. Like, if you have a stage that's not very cohesive and is not very good and you're singing live, it can only elevate it so much. If you have a very good and cohesive stage and you're singing live, then you've elevated it a lot, which I think is why ATEEZ's gets so high for me and why B2B's gets so high for me. And then you have SF9 and The Boys, who for me, like, I did put The Boys higher than SF9. So my bottom three are SF9, Stray Kids, and Icon.
And then SF9 are number three for me.
So we just have The Boys and SF9 kind of switched there.
Yeah. And then my number two is B2B.
Mine too.
My number one is ATEEZ. And honestly, I'm going to be so real. I could imagine a world where B2B is one and ATEEZ are two. Just because I really loved B2Bs that much. Like, if that had been the official ranking, I don't think I would have been mad about it at all. That's what I mean. Not that I would ever say B2B stage was better than ATEEZ, because I think ATEEZ is, I do genuinely think it was the best.
I think it was the best, too. And I, like, because it does have the live singing and it does have the cohesive stage, like, it's automatically elevated. For me, SF9 and The Boys, it was... Like, it's like, what do you care about? Like, what was more satisfying to you, the theatrical stage or the synchronized choreo? Because it didn't have anything to do with vocals for either of them, right?
No.
And then with Icon and Stray Kids, it was just like, I don't know. I didn't think they were doing enough, like, for a story. Like, they just didn't, I don't know. Their stages just didn't hit. Icon was a little harder for me. I didn't like the arrangement, though, so that really hurts them. So that's why they rank so low for me. If I had liked their arrangement, I think the bottom would be The Boys, SF9, and Stray Kids.
So, judges.
Yep.
What order do you want me to give these in?
Well, real quick, before that, I have a note in here. It was, like, at this point when I was like, I think you can really clearly see the identities of some of the groups. Like, if you are a person who likes satisfying choreo, I think The Boys are your group. If you are a person who likes self-produced songs, Stray Kids are your group. If you are a person who likes storytelling, ATEEZ are your group. You don't get the same for, like, the older groups, like Icon and them, but, like, for
I would say that for B2B, the vocals, like, if you really, really care about vocals, then B2B is your group.
So you do get these, like, identities that kind of start to come out, and you can see, like, why certain people are fans of certain groups. And, like, that's just a matter of, like, what you care about and taste. That doesn't mean that one is better than the other. So that's just my note.
So... For the judges' rankings, we have Stray Kids in number six, B2B is fifth, SF9 is fourth, Icon is third, The Boys is second, and ATEEZ is first.
So the judges agreed with me about The Boys being good. We disagree strongly about B2B, it appears.
Yeah, the judges, I never understand why they're ranking B2B where they rank them ever, because they were low in the first round, too.
Well,
I was like...
I don't think the judges care at all about vocals like that.
Except for that one. There's that one.
But they also put SF9 as fourth, which is where I put them. So me and the judges agree on some things.
Well, I'll tell you who really doesn't agree with the judges is the groups themselves.
Yeah, that's so true.
So the groups themselves, they rank The Boys, did not get any votes from any groups. So The Boys just goes through with their 632 points. With their 919 points. So they went from second, and then they were voted number six. So they're at the bottom.
Which I think is, I think that's pretty harsh, because I did, I did enjoy The Boys stage. And I'm surprised that not a single group voted for them. But this is where my theory comes, that, like, a lot of them were, like, ATEEZ is clearly the best, so we've got to vote for them. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And everyone loves B2B, and, like, that stage was really good, so they're like, we got to vote for them. And then it was, like, last time SF9 got no votes, and they improved so much, and they worked so hard. Let's give them our third vote for just their improvement. That's kind of my theory. Not that they, like, was, like, a pity vote, but more like they just recognize that human spirit. And I will be interested to see if, like, I don't think there's any more group votes, though, is there? Because then we do the unit stages, and then it's the finale.
There are group votes for the, no, there's the unit stages, and then there is the one.
Oh, the answer to the joy.
Yeah.
Okay.
That one does have a vote.
Well, so I'm curious to see how the boys will do in that one, like, if they get more votes. But I guess it would depend on the other ranking stuff to see if my theory holds out.
Well, I know for sure that they got some votes because I know that the group that didn't get any votes at all were ATEEZ in the next round. So anyway, fifth place is Stray Kids with 1,072 points. Mm-hmm. Fourth is Icon, 1,695 points. Third is B2B with 2,021 points. Second is SF9 with 2,136 points. And coming in just above them is ATEEZ with 2,155 points. So ATEEZ wins this round.
Again. Good job, ATEEZ.
They will get to choose the groups for the unit stages coming up next.
And it's clear that they do some strategy here. In a way that ATEEZ doesn't, maybe it doesn't necessarily normally do.
Yeah. Well, I guess we'll save this for the next episode. But I had some thoughts and feelings about the choices that they made for their groups for the next round.
I think it's hard not to talk about it, but I think they felt like they couldn't pick Icon again because they already picked Icon.
Which is, a lot of Iconics were offended that they didn't pick Icon again. And even the groups say, oh, we really expected them to pick Icon again. And a lot of Iconics had hurt feelings because it felt like ATEEZ just abandoned them.
But ATEEZ is the one that picked Icon in the first place. They can't just always be picking Icon.
I know.
I felt like they couldn't pick Icon because they already picked Icon. That's what I feel. Yeah. Like, they were trying to, because they're trying, like we said earlier, they're trying to appeal to everyone there. They're trying to make friends. I think Jungho is already friends with, like, several members of SF9. So I think that's why we don't see them really working with SF9 at all. They have no connection with B2B. We do see them pair up with Stray Kids, but I think that is strategy more so than anything else.
I think it's strategy and a little bit of Wooyoung. I'm blaming Wooyoung for this. Which I think it was fine. I feel like what they do in choosing Stray Kids and B2B, and not to get too much into the next episode, I think what they're doing is they're shoring up, they're reinforcing what they're already good at with Stray Kids, and then they're, you know, bringing in something that is to make their vocals more powerful with B2B. And honestly, I can see a world in which Jungho's like, I want to work with Unkwang, and you're going to give that to me.
So, I do a lot.
I do a lot for this group, and I want to sing with a real singer.
And Jungho does have a really nice time. Mm-hmm. And this produces some really good stages.
Yeah.
So
this coming up is the bright spot.
Yeah, it of this super whole is. Thing I'm actually looking
before
forward.
It becomes genuinely terrible. So
I'm looking forward to the team up episodes. I think those will be less painful to watch. We also get the Park Day episode in the middle of it. Mm-hmm. So everyone looks
well, the
forward.
Park Day episode is next, and then we get into the unit stages.
Yeah. In the middle of it, I mean the middle of this whole show. So,
yeah.
So everyone.
So I guess
to
next
that.
Episode will be episode 6 through 8, probably.
Yes. So that we can hit that park episode. What is there going to be to talk about in the park episode? So
we're just going to watch it for fun.
And vibes.
For joy, and then get back into the nitty gritty.
But here's what I dislike about Kingdom. Is that I don't want there to be losers, in fact.
Yeah.
Like, I I ranked them because that's the concept of the show. Mm-hmm. And Stray Kids' performance didn't hit for me. But do I think that they did a bad job, that they deserve to be last and get, like, no points and be sad? No, they worked really hard. I don't think they deserve that. I don't think Sungmin should feel sad about his voice crack. Like, I just don't like any of it. I don't like it.
I don't think it was Sungmin. I think it was Ayeon.
You're right. It was Ayeon. It was Ayeon whose voice cracked. Do I think that Ayeon should be sad? No, I don't. I don't think Stray Kids should be sad. I think they worked really hard. I think they should be given credit for trying something. I think they should be given credit for singing live. But under the concept of the show, I'm not allowed to do any of that. So I don't like this show. I don't like the concept. I don't like competition shows. I don't like there to be losers. I just want to see fun stages.
This is why these upcoming episodes are why I really wish that there existed a show that kind of like Immortal Songs,
yeah,
where there aren't really winners and losers. Mm-hmm. Like, there's a winner, but, like, nobody cares, you know?
Yeah.
But where you team up a younger group with an older group, mm-hmm, and they, like, come together and they, like, make a stage of some kind, whether it's covering each other's songs or splitting into two different teams within the groups.
Yeah.
And, like, friendly competition between them. But, like, the thing that I love about these upcoming episodes, mm-hmm, is just getting to see idols from different groups work together for a common goal.
Yeah.
That's it.
It's nice.
It's so nice.
And I don't have to watch anyone cry until the end. There is a bad spot that I'm already dreading.
Yeah. Well, I have a lot of thoughts and feelings about that. But we'll get there.
Do we do, like, a closing here? Do we have a biggest loser? The biggest loser is us.
The biggest loser is always us. Let's just put that on a t-shirt and sell it for $5. I think we do our patron saints.
Our patron saint. Well, that's hard to do here on a Saturday.
Well, who has been your patron saint this last week?
My patron saint this past week has been Jungho.
Did we already do these particular patron saints? I think we did. So we let's did. Pick one. Let's pick one for next week.
For next week. You know what?
I'll go first while you're thinking.
Oh,
you ready?
I got it. Yeah. I'm going to pick Hangjung.
Okay.
I think.
Tricky. Real tricky.
You know, I'll take some creative energy. I thought he was really inspiring. One of the things I love about Hangjung in general, but also in Kingdom, is that he is so thoughtful with his answers. He says things in a way that is so beautifully diplomatic. Mm-hmm. He just has, like, a thoughtful presence that I don't think he necessarily gets appreciated for enough.
Mm.
Like, you know, everyone appreciates him for his good stage presence and, like, his rapping and all of that stuff and his production skills. But, like, he's just a very thoughtful human and approaches the world in a way that's very fair to everyone.
Mm-hmm.
I like that about him.
Sometimes his answers, not on Kingdom necessarily, but, like, when he's talking to H&E's on From.
Yeah.
His answers are diplomatic to the point of being excessively vague.
Uh-huh. You know, Hangjung, it's okay to tell H&E's that they need to shut the fuck up sometimes.
I wish they would so bad. I can't wait to start hearing the stories of H&E's who've gotten kicked off of Tok Tok Lives because they were being stupid.
I don't think there will be any, but that would be nice.
I desire them, so.
If
anyone's going to do it, I think it might be Wooyoung. So Wooyoung, I'm counting on you, and that is why my patron saint for this week is Wooyoung. I do have to, at the end of next week, I have to do multiple meet and greets, staff things, because school is starting up again, and I'm not looking forward to it because that takes more energy than I am willing to give. But I'm going to call on my gregarious, beautiful boy to help me get through it.
I think Wooyoung is a great choice for them. You know, just like him in Kingdom, there we didn't talk about it, but during, I think it was Icon's part, they, like, show Wooyoung being like, I'm going to approach Jay. He's my target. And then he, like, does these, like, flirty little, he's like, oh, you're here too? What time are you leaving? And just, like, in the most, like, flirtatious tone. And then they show these screenshot messages of them texting each other with Wooyoung being like, how are you doing? Is everything going well? Like, he's just so, like, he was like, I want that boy to be my friend, and I'm going to mm-hmm. do it. Mm-hmm. I'm going to get him. So I found that really endearing and charming.
So that's the energy I'm taking to the staff cookouts this uh-huh. weekend.
Pick your target friend. Thank you for joining us for today's chat. If you enjoyed, please follow or subscribe to the podcast.
If you have any questions or suggestions for the podcast, you can email us at oldontini@gmail.com.
If you love books, you can also follow along with our spinoff podcast, Readers of the Lost Art.
We'll see you next time. Be the light.